And welcome back. Again, this is Susan King, and it is my pleasure today to have a speaker that not only is an educator, but is also a singer and songwriter. And I am thrilled to have Mark Stanton Welch on my show today. Mark?
Yes.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day down here in the central coast of California.
And it's also a beautiful day up here in the northern.
Aren't we blessed?
More,
huh?
Yeah, a little more inward around this beautiful lake we have up here.
Oh, yes.
You've traveled up to Clear Lake, have you?
I have been through there just a couple times. Took the drive around the lake, really on a pass-through. It was a road I had not taken before, and I decided that was the one I needed to see.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yes, and it is a beautiful, beautiful lake up here. I really enjoy where I live, even though there are some things that I sometimes consider a little on the backward side.
I hear you.
We don't have the huge malls and the box stores up here.
Well, they're within riding distance, aren't they?
Well, I guess you might say yes. Probably
yeah.
The closest area that has those is probably Ukiah, which is an hour away.
Oh, okay. So you have to want to go there.
You have to desperately.
Yeah.
You definitely have to want to go there. And many times, you know, I'll make my list. And I think that's one of the things that we have up here in this area. We're going a little off topic here, but is the fact that, you know, we want to support the local businesses as much as we can.
Yeah.
And like to have the local businesses also support us, because when you look at the comparison and what you're paying for prices up here, you know, they're considering the fact that you're not having to drive down the hill. So if you're buying one or two items, it actually costs you more in some cases to purchase up here than it does to purchase out of the area.
Right.
And we like to keep those dollars here.
Well, yes.
Anyway, Mark, I am absolutely thrilled to have you, because you're just such a multi-talented, skilled individual with so many varied areas that you have mastered. And let's start at the very beginning.
Okay.
You were actually a school teacher. Is that correct?
I did. I actually taught school for about 13 years. Officially in the public schools. That was certainly not what I intended to do, you know, although we are guided and we follow the, you know, what's laid at our feet, and sometimes make the choices that lead us in a direction that brings, you know, magic, and then sometimes there's other opportunities. But I basically, when I left high school, started heading for engineering school, because I was a math and science kind of guy. And the next thing I knew, Boeing was laying people off, and I had to speculate at the school where I was whether I wanted to invest in a career that seemed to be falling apart. And life circumstances actually brought me back home to the Central Coast, Paso Robles area, where my mother had some needs, and I came back to support her in that process, and at the same time invested time in the junior college in San Luis Obispo, and there I...
Now, that's a beautiful area.
It is a beautiful area. It's if we want to get into some of the energies around this a little bit later, that would be fun to do, but I feel like I was born in the right place in this county, and I have been here all of my life. But I got called back here and started the junior college, and part of the way of making ends meet for me was to work at the tutoring center. And I got to just start helping people with specific topics. The next thing I knew, I was enjoying the process of actually being a teacher. And so I went on to the university and got a liberal studies degree and a teaching credential to work in elementary or K-12, and proceeded to get my first job, and this was in the 70s, at an elementary school in Paso Robles, where I actually went to school as a boy.
Hmm.
So for 13 years, I taught at the school where I actually went through as a boy, and in retrospect, it was a beautiful opportunity for me to actually work on healing a lot of childhood wounds and issues that had been unbeknownst to me at the time.
Well, the other thing is that there probably was some of the curriculum or the teachers still teaching.
Yes.
Have an interesting relationship that would develop now, because now you're an adult in a whole different light.
You know, it really was. And I recall more at let's see if any were there. Yes, Mr. Farron was there. He was a fifth grade teacher, and he had actually been there in the years that I was there as a boy. So that was fascinating, being in the faculty lounge with Mr. Farron when we were here on in a different capacity.
Now, Mark, you know, would you mind if I placed one of the songs that I love so dearly? It's off of your Simple Living CD, I believe.
Go ahead, yeah.
And I believe it's actually titled Simple Living. So if I can run this thing properly.
Okay.
No one ever said that I was, computer literate here.
Well, I'm going to say it.
And this is, thank you. I love this song, by the way, Mark. It's so sweet.
Tumba, ba tumba, ba tumba, ba way, oh, tumba, ba tumba, ba tumba, ba way, oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ba tumba, ba way, oh, tumba, ba tumba, ba tumba, ba way, oh, tumba, ba tumba, ba tumba, ba way, oh, tumba, ba tumba, ba way,
You're coming in a little bit scratchy there, Mark.
You know, I'm in the woods here, and there's a sometimes the phone lines get a little moist from whatnot. I had it fixed, but it seems like it's creeping back in.
Ah.
I hope that it will stay away.
That song has such simplicity in its words, and yet it's so powerful.
Indeed. Indeed. And it was born during the teaching years when I was working with children, the music programs were being taken out of the classroom due to budget constraints, and I took it upon myself to make sure music was an element in the class. And oftentimes, I would create songs to support curriculum. And I was a bit of a peace intender at the time, and I always felt it was important to bring at least some ideas about making the world a better place into the classroom. And the simpler it was, the more powerful I found it to be.
I find that nowadays, as the economy seems to be in a challenging place for a lot of people, going back to the basics is we're being forced to go back to the basics, actually. And living simpler. In my family alone, or even just myself, in the other type of work that I do, has been slammed so hard that trying to make a living in that industry is literally impossible right now with the light of all that's happened.
Yeah.
And so I've had to find ways or do things that don't cost money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really forced me to recreate creativity in my life.
Yes. I completely agree. And I have to say the same thing, that the opportunity then is to find ways to make things not only interesting but fulfilling without distractions. You know, the pursuit of stuff, as beautiful as it has been, and how nice it is to have just a variety of things, I found for myself that it was more about the getting the stuff. And then once I got these things, it was like, okay, great, and now let me get something else. So it's kind of caught up in this process of getting instead of actually enjoying what I got. And so one of the things that the shifts in the economy has done is really given me the opportunity to begin to integrate and enjoy those things that I did work hard to get. And so I'm finding there's just a depth of experience now that just is so much more fulfilling than just being caught in a kind of a blind process.
You know, today as I was on my way here, I had stopped to get myself something to drink, and my window on the passenger side wouldn't go up.
Uh-huh.
And to me, that was like, oh my God, now what am I going to do? I don't have the money to spend to get it repaired.
Oh.
That's the first thing that went through my mind.
Right.
And I live in a state of where I believe in abundance. And I project abundances, you know, in many ways, abundance in friends, abundance in love. You know, it's not just all about material wealth.
Right.
But even in that anticipation of and placing out into the universe and my fears, you know, because the fears will boil up.
Sure.
You know, and it's typical for us to have fears. That it's like I probably didn't sleep very much last night.
Mm.
You know, just thinking about, because my company gave me a proposition of something they're going to change with me, and it's like, oh no, something
right.
new up the pipeline that I didn't expect, and now how am I going to solve that problem?
You know, I understand, and I can say the same thing. I had about 10 years of traveling and working with a particular person and an author and a dear friend, and that suddenly began to shift after those 10 years. And I had invested my time, my energy, my commitment, my routines, I guess I'll even say that. It became very familiar to me, and it became a way that worked for me, and I didn't have to really do much to keep it going. And when it began to show signs of falling apart, or at least shifting the form, I got scared. And what I learned to do, and what I've learned to do, is to sit in that fear and to know that in some ways it was my little inner boy, if you will, who was feeling the uncertainty and was having the apple cart shaken up. And he was trying to just protect me with those feelings. But what I began to discover is that the more we sat with those feelings and the more we allowed them to express themselves in a variety of ways, I began to see that In the midst of the form of how it looked like things were ending, there was so much more that was beginning to open up. And my experience is that there are things that they can't really come into our consciousness until we go ahead and let go of something, and we let that behind. Because these powers of manifestation that we all carry with us, whether we're aware of it or not, is that which we focus on, we bring in. And stuff, I think by universal law, just will not come in until we've cleared the space and taken a step towards it, so that the energy then can then start to move. I hope you're getting what I'm saying.
Well, you know, again, we're relating back to the premise of thought. And if you have a thought pattern, and that's all you're going to see until you're able to shed light on a new thought pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting that we brought this topic up, because I actually brought a book. I always bring a little book to read a few mm-hmm. pages in before the show, because I always come in early. And by the way, I didn't know it was in the Buddhist tradition. It is Nirvana Day.
Oh.
And in the Hindu tradition, it is Vasant Panchami Day.
And that is?
I have no clue.
All right. Well,
but
I'm ready to celebrate.
I would honor those traditions because indeed. I think all traditions are a mixture of all mankind.
I truly agree.
And what I was reading the Silva Mind Control Method.
Uh-huh.
By Jose Silva, and he's talking about in here of two test groups that were scientifically studied together side by side. One of who used his mind control method, which is simply meditation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a form of self hypnosis, really. That's what meditation is. Eventually, mm-hmm. if you're guided along, that's what you're going to perceive is a change in your thought. But those who were in the program, they were dealing with cancer patients. And those who maintained a positive thought pattern fared very well, and many of them went into remission.
Mm-hmm.
And those who did not have carry a positive thought pattern did not get well.
Yeah.
And so the bottom line is when somebody says something to you, you're the one responsible for how that is interpreted inside your own patterns of thinking.
Yes.
And that's what you're talking about, possibly looking into and opening like an egg. What's here?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of messing it around and getting into that and then cleaning it up.
Yeah.
And what you have left is a new form of something, of that egg. You still have the eggshell, but the middle of it is now something else. And basically, and that's a poor example, but it is an example of what happens with our mind when we move some of these blocks and thought patterns. And that's what this show is all about. Big
yeah.
Heart. Big Heart is all about learning how to be a positive individual in the midst of all the crises that happen around us.
Oh, boy, that's powerful. And it's a doable thing. And really it is. It not only do we have our thought in that moment, we have our reaction and we have a way to respond, which is based on our thinking. So I've learned that in a sense, the first thing to realize is that things may not be as they seem. And the old thing about taking a few breaths before you take action is a powerful process because it allows some of the initial response to sort of diminish, and then new information begins to come in. I don't know how many experiences I've had in my life where I had a gut-level response to it that was often fueled by emotion or fueled by old energy or woundings, that if I would have acted upon, the result would have been very different. But I took a step back and then entered, once I let that pass, and I began to see that there was more going on here than I had the eyes to see just a moment ago.
And stepping in for a minute, how much of that is true? How much of whatever story you created around the situation is actually true?
Well, that's another story. Another story. But, you know, some of that is just the energy. If you just talk about it as vibration, it's energies that, let's say, as a little boy, I didn't have permission to express. Events happen, and naturally the body is set up to release and to clear energies that come in. If I interrupt that process through life circumstance or whatnot, the parental situation, then I have no outlet for that. But the body wisdom is to keep holding that energy in and keep seeking an opportunity to release it.
And well, that's you know, typical of the innocence of a child, where a child will allow themselves to react in the moment, right then and there, spontaneously.
Yes.
But as adults, we learn to cover, disguise, pull back, block, not show our feelings.
Yeah.
For that's just a natural pattern that we seem to fall into because of all the behavioral control patterns that are out there that are enforced on what is expected by ourselves and others.
Yes. I think those social constraints and the particular familial experience with the actual household of what we incarnated into, those things all influence our fluidity in terms of staying clear and staying clean with the energies.
Now, I have another song I'd like to play, and I think this one is Life is Good.
Oh, okay. Hey, can I say something about simple living? I just realized.
Sure, yes. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I have shared that song ever since I wrote it, and it was back in the late 80s that it first came through, and I've used it. And it's been used when I go to groups and sing with them, and it's a catchy tune, and it's easy to learn, and we have a great time with it. I have a friend up in Washington, and he just took his family to Africa. Now, this song was born really just out of, hey, this sounds fun. And it wasn't actually African that I was speaking, but they went actually to Africa and visited a particular culture there. And in the midst of it, they were immersing themselves, and they were going to get water one day, and this song popped out, and they started doing it. And then immediately, the locals started singing along with it, and they just had a ball doing it. And it just reminds me so much that of how these things that are created, they go off and they have an effect and they do their work in so many different places. So in a sense, that song made its way home finally.
And I know what you mean, because your songs are so like that. The words are very simple, so that you pick them up after you've listened to the song once or twice. And I found myself in here, I was laughing because I thought, well, if somebody walked through the door, they're going to see me bouncing in my seat. I mean, that song just reminds me, brings up, your music has a tendency for me to listen to the words, to remind myself of the gratitude that I have for being who I am in this place and time on earth.
Yeah.
And it brings back the simplicity, and it's not religious at all.
No.
It's just talking about those things that are around us that we forget about, to be grateful for, that's just here in our existence. That's how I see your songs.
I agree. You know, it's like we have messages that we come here with. We all have, no matter what culture we're in, what programming we've had, there are just certain truths that exist. And I'd like to say, in some ways, I'm just tapping into that and then using it as reminders.
I think that's basically what happens with all of us when we tap into our created intuitive part of us.
Amen.
So let's see if I can get this thing right.
You're doing great so far.
Well, you know, I'm not. There, nope. See, it's going to put your song on. So what I'm going to do is watch it until that song goes by. And then I'll pot it up when we get to the second song. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm. the keyboard here, or is, what do you want to call it? Control board is is multifaceted, and I do the best that I can. And I had a basic starter course in it, but they have a pretty elaborate school that you can go to do this. And,
oh, yeah.
And Andy, the guy that runs the station, actually teaches the. Teaches it, and I wanted to go, but it was there's days that I just couldn't make it. So you know, meeting half the class just doesn't do it. So, folks, one of these days I'll get this panel down.
Well, you know, the gifts that come out of the unexpected.
Absolutely. That's just like this show that came out of Uninspected and Nightly Healing, the meditation that's free that I do every Friday night that just fills my heart with so much joy, because the people that are mostly on the healing meditation is people who can't make it somewhere.
Right.
You know, they're at home, they're stuck with their situation, and they can call in every night at 6 o'clock and listen to a beautiful meditation by someone who donates their time.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And it is beautiful.
Yeah.
And, so, okay. And so this next song, I'm pretty sure it's Life is Good.
All right.
And what inspired that? We have about a minute and 43 seconds.
Okay, what inspired is I used to work through Unity Church as a music director, and the minister would call in with a talk on Saturday night. I'd come home from the clubs after playing rock and roll music, and kind of be awake, and there'd be a topic, so I would write music for it, and typically I'd write a song, and then on the drive in, which is 30 miles, I'd come up with something that was short and repetitive we could use as a meditation. And it just so happened that on the way in that particular morning, you know, I give a little love, I give a little light, it comes back around, I feel all right. Ah, life is good. Life is good. And that's what came up. We used it that morning, and then I've used it ever since. So they're really born in the moment, as sometimes as needed, sometimes as assignment, and sometimes just a gift, because that's the message that needs to come through today.
And that's absolutely beautiful. That's another form of just spontaneous creation.
Yeah.
In the heart.
Yes.
And you have about how many CDs altogether, Mark?
Well, I'll tell you, I've got about 35.
And that's a lot. And your CDs are so varied, and the topics that you cover in the music, And I've had only the I've only had four of the CDs that I've been able to listen to that you've put out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, the variety, because you almost go from a chanting to a to this type of beautiful flowing music to almost a, here we go. I'm going to put it on now and
okay.
bring you right back. I just love that song, Mark. Are you there? Hello, Mark? Hello, Mark? Mark?
Hello?
Oh, there you are.
Yeah. hiding behind that button.
Yes, I know. There's so many buttons.
Well, you know, absolutely, what we affirm is kind of what we get.
Pardon me?
I mean, this, like that song, Life is Good. It kind of the idea is what we affirm is what we get.
You know, yeah, and that's how I feel here, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I'm not a proficient at some of the things that I'm doing, my heart is here.
That.
And I'm also willing to say that I make mistakes.
Yes.
And I'm willing to do that live on the air. So that makes me, I feel, an average, normal Joe Blow. Anyway, you're listening to KPFZ. This is Susan King. I am interviewing Mark Stanton Welch, singer, songwriter, and educator. This is 88.1 FM, KPFZ, LCCR. And we're delivering music to all of Lakeport and all around this beautiful, gorgeous lake today.
Yeah.
So, Mark, that was that song always puts me. That's one thing I know about your music. The songs are catchy.
Mm-hmm.
You find yourself in them, and their words are such that you would have your child sing, play, and listen with it around because the words are encouraging. They're positive.
Yeah,
they're inspirational. And I'm a person who, you know, I love music, Mark, just like you. I must have seen every single concert that was. In history, you know, and I've had the honor. I told this to a girl at the radio station down in Santa Rosa the other day. I said, you know, there's one thing about that's nice about being my age. She goes, what? I said, you guys never had a chance to see Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, The Doors,
yeah.
All of those fabulous guys in concert. I have.
Yes, indeed.
But some of the words in the music that they did create and the connotations behind the words are allowing us to believe that it's the other individual that causes our emotions, that, you know, there's a lot of derogatory statements said, and some of them are not positive about either gender as well.
Right.
You know,
right.
So it's a wonderful thing to have this kind of music available that isn't in that line of, and it's all about aspiring, inspiring, and passion.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I would rather wake up in the morning with this kind of stuff running through my head, which is helping me to set the tone for my day, than the other. And I have to say, I love a lot of it. I love all kinds of music myself, and I've even learned to accept more contemporary music, which is kind of out of my generation, but I recognize the importance and the power and then that, you know, the for that particular style or for that particular form. But when I discovered that when you pair the key of the music, the rhythm of the music, the melody, and the words, then and align all of those pieces, then it takes on a whole different character and then a whole different experience. So,
now, I brought five of your tunes to play today.
Okay.
I think the next tune is Here in My Heart. That is so... inspiring to me in times when I feel life is kind of pushing me down.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me that, yes, when I acknowledge the fact that spirit, that my spirit is connected to what I call source,
mm-hmm.
which other people may call God or whatever you may want to call your higher power, it's all accepted. It's all acceptable because it's all one thing, and that's about love of yourself and love of mankind.
Yeah.
And love of the earth.
Yeah.
And we can't forget the earth because it's the earth that supports who we are.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And
very critical.
You know, I have a very strong stand on preserving this planet that we're on and the direction that our country is going in and what's happening in the political arena. You know, all of that is something that has been said that is destined to happen.
Yeah.
And we need to clear the planet in order to bring... you know, the new train of thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard, you know, it's hard for me to fathom when they say the meek will inherit the earth. But in the true reality, the meek is what loves each and every single individual for
yes.
who they are.
Yes.
And we're not antagonistic towards, you know, your beliefs or your color of your skin or any of the things that you are, simply a human being living a human existence with a spirit that's connected to source.
Yeah. You said a lot right there. You did, and I'm looking where to jump in. But I will certainly say, I've kind of heard, you know, lately that I'm a spiritual being having a human experience, which is a little bit different slant on that, and it allows me to realize that I carry within me, we'll call it, like a divine blueprint that is really the truth of my being as opposed to all the things I've learned. What I've learned gives me character and personality, but underneath it there's a strength and a power that allows me to be a good person in the world, which means good to myself and good to others, and carry in a sense a small footprint, if you will, in terms of the way that we use up those resources of the earth. And I'm kind of getting off track here, but the thing I want to say about the earth is that I realize the better care I give to myself and the more I tend to the garden within me in terms of how I am towards myself and how I am in the world, that to me translates more to how the earth gets healed. Are you following me in this?
Yes.
It's an inside job that reflects outward. So the more that I do to take care and good care of myself, the less I put demand on the earth to fill in those spaces for me.
I certainly understand that. I also understand the power behind collective energy when people are all in the same thought frame.
Oh, indeed. That's evidenced many, many times.
So let's see if I can make this one work.
You can.
And, there we go. Now this is, we are all connected, I think, yeah.
Yeah, that you and
yeah,
I are so connected.
I love this song, too. But I'm a fan of yours, Mark.
Oh, I know that one.
You and I are so connected. Heart to heart, a golden thread. Through it we can feel love. Heart to heart, a golden thread.
That's really a light and airy song, and how true are those words?
No, absolutely. Gosh, you know, one of the costs of the way things have unfolded in our culture, and in some ways in civilized culture, I'll use that in quotations, is that we've lost the heart connections with one another. There's so many distractions. And I think of kids often that are distracted by the technology, in a sense. And the cost of that is that the relationships with one another suffer.
Oh, I can tell you that in the financial industry, where everything used to be, where you talk to the people and you had a relationship, and now everything is email. How much of their true expression falls in between the cracks?
Yeah.
How much of that person on the other end forget about the importance of who you are as a person when they're only looking at a screen with words?
And thus you're able to make these decisions that have such a catastrophic effect on people's lives, because there is no human contact there. It's just on paper. Well, you know, yeah.
Exactly. You know, when a person gets to talk to you, they get to hear your tone in your voice, that you're another person on the other end, and energy travels through the lines.
Oh, indeed.
You know, the energy doesn't travel through the computer. That's why I don't do spiritual work over the computer. It just I don't get that feel.
Yeah.
Now you being not only a singer and songwriter, you also are a teacher, and you have been on stage with some of the biggest names in New Age. Is that correct?
Well, that is true, yeah. I had the opportunity to travel specifically with one author. Her name was Sonia Choquette, with Hay House Books. And as a result of the events that Hay House did over the years that I was working there, we did a lot of things with pretty much the names that were household names in the New Thought industry, we'll say.
And those are, I know Marianne Williamson wrote The Course of Miracles.
Yeah, I got an opportunity, even before I went to Hay House, to do an event with her when she came to San Luis Obispo, to just after her book, The Healing of America, came out. And I wrote a song for her and opened up the experience and spent a little time in the green room with Marianne. And we had a wonderful chat there, and it was really a privilege to do that. And I've recently seen her through the Hay House work as she was picked up by Hay House Books. And had a chance to just reconnect with her. Powerful woman.
It was interesting because I was searching out new. I'm always looking to find ways of continuing my education regardless of all the certifications I have. And I went to the American Institute of Natural Theology because I was considering and getting something in divinity.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting that her name was used as a quote for the school.
Oh, fabulous.
And I thought, how interesting, because of you. Now, I know the reason I called you was because I had a friend who actually saw you in concert up in Washington, and she had mentioned your name, and I said, oh, and I said, I saw your picture, and I said, oh, he's a handsome man, and she goes, yes, so he's not only handsome on the outside, he's beautiful on the inside. That's what really inspired me, because you are beautiful on the inside. To create the songs that you do completely free of any type of, what do you call that, front? You're egoless in your songs.
Well.
You know, because you're not coming from the mind, you're coming from the heart.
Yeah.
And all of your songs are very lighthearted, and you've always been a gracious person to speak to, so I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, can I share something about that?
Sure.
Yeah, because on one hand, when I first started writing, we'll call them spiritual songs. Yeah, this was back in the early or late 80s, and I did that because I got involved with Unity Churches, but that was just a vehicle to open me up. And once, I've already alluded to the idea that the minister would give me the talk on Saturday night, and I just always took it upon myself to write a song for the next morning, and I didn't have to do that, but it just felt really vibrant and vital and necessary. And I always found it interesting that the talk title had to do with something that was relevant in my life. And because I had so little time, I had to choose the first thing that came to mind. I would take the first idea musically and go, okay, this is it. And then I would go ahead and say, I can only write about what's going on in my life. So here, all of a sudden, it gave me this opportunity to just take my own experience, whatever it was, and then pour it into that song. And then in 4 or 5 hours, by the time the church actually started, then I would be able to present the song. And it was always as raw as can be, you know, because it was so brand new. And oftentimes, it was just coming through the struggles or the challenges that I was having, and they came through the song, because that's what I had to write about. And I began to experience how audiences would receive those, that something different was happening with that. And I think the rawness and the genuineness of coming from my open heart and the angst and tears on the music there was enough to give people willingness to open themselves up. And so they felt the music on a different level. And I would often measure the success of a song by the number of tears in the audience or the kind of connection that I felt. And that was a powerful teacher for me.
You have concerts all up and down the coast, is that correct? I mean, where do you have your concerts? Up in Washington, up and down all the coast, out of state?
Since I stopped traveling with the Hay House tours, I've basically gone back to some of my roots, and I go up into the Washington, Seattle area a couple times a year, 2 or 3 times. Just started working with a wonderful bookstore up there in Seattle, East West Books. And then I do things through some of the various Unity centers around the area. And then I'm also in the Portland area. I come to Los Angeles, San Francisco, over in Sacramento. And, you know, each year is kind of different in terms of how it unfolds. So I do a lot in Arizona, out in Denver. And I'm really developing a whole different way of traveling, a whole different way of connecting with people. Just really kind of out of, I will say, the economic form of the time. So I'm just changing the way that I do work, and it's creating more opportunity to be present with people in ways that I couldn't do with the Hay House tours. I'm actually staying in people's homes and making connections through things called house concerts, where I'm in living rooms, and it has just been delightful.
Well, that truly is a way to get deeper connected to those persons whom you are sharing your music with.
Yeah.
The other thing is that you do have a or creating a school, is that correct? And you also do vibrational attunements, and you also bring out the voice in people.
Yeah, gosh, how do I address all those very quickly? let's just say that through my course of writing music, it's been an evolutionary tool for me personally. And so I've done a lot of inner work and learned a lot about myself and about what I perceive as kind of the nature of things. And I've just keep coming back to the place that sound and vibration is the foundation of it all. And so it's been an easy path for me to move into working with sound and to use it as a tool to help shift things and to bring clarity back to people and realignment and we'll call it a healthy state. And out of that, these little elements have begun to show themselves. The vibrational attunement is actually using the client's voice and statements beyond affirmation, if you will, but they're just very strong proclamation kinds of statements that we work out together, and we use them to help reprogram kind of subconscious belief. And through a variety of means, they're somewhat technology-based, and some of them is just kind of ancient mystery school shamanistic kinds of things. We use this to just sort of clear the old energies out to allow a person to kind of fluff themselves off to stand more in their power and their presence and be balanced. So it's a really beautiful process. I know you said a few things there. I'm not remembering what you just said, but
I think one of them was that you actually help a person to develop their voice to be at their peak potential. I mean, I'm very interested in that because I love to sing, but you know, I feel that there's weaknesses in my voice here and there, and like to make improvements and stand in the ability to just be vocal without fear.
Oh, indeed. Well, let me just offer a little bit about that and what I mean by it. Essentially, are your listeners versed with the idea of chakras and energy centers in the body, or is that?
I certainly have discussed energy centers,
okay,
and I hope to talk more about chakras, and may have you on in the future to speak specifically about them.
Okay.
Because you do actually work on chakras through vibration, is that correct?
Yes, I do. And the throat chakra is one of the ones that, particularly in this culture, gets compromised. In other words, the spoken word is not spoken, and the anguishes or the frustrations or even the celebrations and joys of life are not given sound. And we get squelched, and children should be seen and not heard, those kinds of injunctions that occurred all through our lives. Well, the throat chakra is really tied into the second chakra, which is down near the base of the spine, and that is the place where we hold strong emotions, and oftentimes the injustices and abuses of our life are held, and they're unexpressed. So here we have this reservoir of discomfort and all kinds of things that gets compromised and is not able to express through the throat. So what I have found is basically by clearing those two areas in particular, and specifically the throat, then what happens is one just begins to return to their, we'll call it the joy of singing and the joy of making sound. And then that creates a foundation for someone to go and actually take voice lessons to develop singing. So I'm not necessarily here to work with singing because there's a lot of people that are way better than I am in terms of actually making that happen. But what I do are clear the blockages there that interfere from a willingness to even walk into that place. And what it does is free up the ability to go ahead and talk freely and honestly and with awareness about the things that need to be talked about and shared. And it really can help relationship. It can help one's presence in the world, one's sense of power. You know, it's really beautiful.
Communication, and it sounds like a beautiful class, and communication is so important because that is the only means of way that someone can know what it is that you're thinking. It's
indeed
through communication. How do they get a hold of you, Mark? I'm going to play your song as the last song that I have on here. I actually have two more, but we only have room for one more song on the way out.
Okay.
So how can people get a hold of you, Mark?
You can go to my website, which is being revamped, and there's a brand new one opening up on the 15th of this month. And I'm so excited about it. But, you can reach it through musicbymarkwelch.com. So it's musicbymarkwelch.com. And that'll get to the... at least right now, the old website, and then the new one that's coming up. That's probably the best way. I'm down in Cambria, California, and I'm in the phone book.
I was going to say, for those people who may not have access to the computer, is there a number that they can reach you at?
Yeah, absolutely. The number is 805-927-2416.
Mark, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show. Uh-huh. I enjoy you immensely. I enjoy your music, and I can't wait to see you live and in person. And they say you put on a dynamite show, and everyone I've talked to says that, you know, you bring everyone into the music.
I do.
So by the time that you're done with the concert, there is so much lightheartedness, joy, and laughter.
Yeah.
And that's a place where I want to be.
Well, amen, and it shall happen.
So, Mr. Mark, I will let you go for today, and I want to thank you again for being our guest. And coming up is Accent on Words. This has been Big Heart, Big Heart. My name is Susan King. Next week I will be back. Sherry Harris would be on at the end of the month with Big Art. So,
Susan,
Mark,
thank you.
Thank you, and many, many blessings to you.
Indeed. Same to you.
All right.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And
you are beautiful, you are wonderful. My heart is open wide to let you in. You are so beautiful. You are so wonderful, and I do love you as you are, my friend.